My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Monday Night Football right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man. It's your boys.
We're back.
How was Lexington, man?
Amazing. Kentucky went up for the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, which is once a year. It was absolutely incredible. I got to say this because this was kind of the cool thing for me, sitting at the game watching the dogs. I ended up sitting next to you, and I wrote their names down because I was like, well, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. So the irony to this is it was a big frat and sorority day there.
Right.
And there were darties, day parties, plenty of them. And my daughter is a part of one of those sororities. So she's like, yeah, y'all want to come? I'm like, no, we're good. So we drive into this street to drop her off, and it's nothing but like these party houses.
Fraternity Row.
No. Right. This is party row. These aren't fraternity row. That's a whole different era. Mm-hmm. These are just houses that these kids are partying in. Mike, people everywhere. It was like, I can't even move on the street. I'm like, where am I going? She's like, just turn left. I turn. I drop her off. I'm like, thank God I didn't, got out of there alive. But she sends a picture and she says, hey, Dad, do you know who the griddle guy is? And I'm like, no. And she's like, he's got like 2 million followers on TikTok. I'm like, well, that's probably why I don't know.
Yeah, right.
So she's like, well, he's got like 450,000 followers on Facebook and Instagram and all these places. I'm like, well, who is he? So she sends this picture. Apparently one of these frats hired the griddle guy. Okay. His name is Daryl Posnick, I believe his real name is. But he goes by Cook with Daryl. And he's sitting next to us at the Kentucky game. And there's another guy named Matt Ramsey who has like 480,000 followers on Facebook. He is cooker of deliciousness. And they hired these guys. These are world-renowned cooks that I had no idea, barbecue guys. But these frats hired these guys to come in and cook for the kids. So they were there, and they're like, hey. And I'm like,
good guys to hang with.
But I get this picture. This is earlier in the day. And I'm like, nah, baby, I don't know who these guys are. And then we end up sitting next to them, and I'm talking to this guy, and I'm like, he's like, why are you here? And I'm like, oh, well, my daughter goes here, and we're here for the Georgia game, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, we were cooking for the kids today. And so he tells me his name. Long story short, these guys are incredible, but you can look them up. They cook. The Bacon Up guys are the guys that brought them to the game, and they were all sitting behind us. So they were all just there hanging out. But it was really cool to meet those guys. And Mike, you know, it's weird because it's like when he's like, so you do a show in Atlanta? I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty big show. And he's like, yeah, we're pretty big cookers. And you're like, yeah, right, whatever. And he's like, oh, you are. So it was pretty cool. But the Bourbon Trail and all that stuff was fun, man. We had a great time. I would suggest, and as the week goes on, I'll tell you more because we just don't have time today.
Short.
Suggestions and things of that nature. But it was incredible. And they do a great job with that Bourbon Festival, man. People from all over the world come to Bardstown, which from just the right. vicinity has the most bourbon barrels of anywhere in the world. And so that's why they call it, bourbon town. Either way, good time, except the fact that the Dogs didn't play well. Connor Riley's on the way right now. Let's get to an NFL Blitz. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. You talked about Baker Mayfield. Listen, we said we have to give credit to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who've won this division the last 2 years.
Right.
We can't overlook that, even though I like our team and what we've added. But all of a sudden now, Mike, and it's early, it looks like the Bucs and the Saints are not going anywhere anytime soon.
Now, we spent the first hour, we mentioned you got a new offensive coordinator that took over this year in New Orleans, and that's Clint Kubiak, Gary's son, and he's basically got this thing humming like a Swiss watch through the first two games. And then Tampa Bay, you know, Baker Mayfield, he looks great, and I think he's comfortable, and he's got nobody over his shoulder. He knows it's his job, and he's a leader on that squad, making the right decisions. Didn't have a pick, but he also scrambled and picked up some first downs. Godwin actually had a better day than Evans yesterday.
He did.
Dan Campbell mismanaged his strategy, nearly cries in the post-game press conference, apologizes to Lion fans. But, the Bucs are really good. That's why when Brandon Lang was on our station, you know, the handicapper, and said he was having a hard time getting the Falcons over 9 wins, I'm like, oh, he's nuts. I don't know. Maybe he knew something that, you know, that these other teams weren't going to go away just yet, because everyone felt the Bucs are pretty much the same squad running it back. Well, it looks pretty darn good.
Campbell, coaching mistake. For those who didn't watch this game, it was a 10-second runoff at the end of the half. They should have at least kicked a field goal, but they probably should have scored a touchdown. It's 3rd and 2 at the Bucs' 9-yard line. They should have punched it in. Totally different game. He blew it. They don't get anything out of it, and that's the point Mike's making about the end of the game. They had too many men on the field. Runoff, half. And you're going, wait a minute, we're right there, and we don't get anything from it. Huge coaching mistake.
Also, real quick, because you were off up there in Kentucky doing your thing, the Tua thing. Tua's the word out of South Florida is Tua does not plan to retire. Is he going to be one of the more high-profile guys? Only one or two guys are wearing those protective pads that we see in practice on their helmets. What do you do if you're Tua? Because that was unbelievable. I mean, to see it, and then unfortunately the reaction and the whole thing that happened right afterwards, where you know he's been concussed again.
Yeah. I said when that happened originally, I thought he should retire, and people said it's too early. You're crazy. I think he still should retire, Mike. The Dolphins would still owe him $120 million, basically, $124, to say bye-bye. I just don't know. Is it worth you doing this, not knowing what the future holds? And what I mean, guys, is when you break your leg and you go in and they take that x-ray and they say, hey, this is going to heal up and this is what it'll look like, and, you know, you'll be okay. Nobody can look at the brain right now and tell you what it's going to look like 25 years from now, Mike. So I think he should call it quits, but I know he's going to do everything he can to play. I'm just so fearful. Again, I was scared blankless seeing him on the field. And by the way, I don't know what channel or how it was for you. We were at the hotel. They cut away. Like, when that happened, we didn't actually see it because we were like, what's going on? And they were like, Tua's down. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
We didn't see him convulsing on the field until – I didn't see that until afterwards. Yeah,
they call it that fencing reaction with the arm. No, the thing we talked about on Thursday's – I should say on Friday's show is just you – if you're him, he's got to make better decisions. I know it's the heat of the game. He literally ran into that contact. That's what – the whole thing was so screwy because it was there were 5 different ways he could have gone right there. He chose the only way that was going to get his head in harm's way. Over the weekend, talk about the young quarterbacks. We saw Caleb Williams look like a rookie last night on Sunday Night Football. And the Texans, well, the Bears' defense is pretty good. They certainly made it tough and closer than expected. Jaden Daniels doesn't throw for a touchdown, but he does run for 44 yards, and he was 23 of 29, was effective, and the Commanders beat the Giants. Dan Quinn gets his first win as head coach of the Commanders.
Daniel Jones is another guy. That's another quarterback situation that is just there is no answer there right now.
Wasn't horrible yesterday, but his reputation precedes him.
Yeah, I just feel like, again, can he put you on his back and win games? Jaden Daniels has shown me a little bit something here, Mike, the first couple of weeks. I mean, again, it's a growing process. You saw that with Caleb Williams. Everybody talked about how great Caleb was going to be. He looked average. He was sacked 7 times last night. He looked average. Now, that O-line may be an issue for the Bears, but it's been an issue. We said that when Justin Fields was there and he wasn't winning, and now you said it. They're still playing conservative in Denver, and they're finding ways to get it done. Speaking of Fields, he hits a former Georgia product. I guess once a dog, always a dog, for a touchdown.
Given the Steelers the first score of the game. All
those tight ends that they're collecting up there, they got a bunch of targets and tight ends for Justin. They win against Denver on the road. What do you think of Bo Nix, by the way?
You know, he's coming along. Sean Payton, I thought the screwy thing was Sean Payton deciding to not go for an onside kick, even though we know the onside kick odds are super long, and now you have to tell the other team you're doing it.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success. With dependable, fact-based insights, no financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True. They kind of know where you're going with this. But then hoping that he get the ball back, and then there was a couple of Justin Fields scrambles, which 8 o'clock. So, yeah, Denver got the ball back with like 9 seconds. Had no chance to do anything after the kick returner screwed around back there. So Sean Payton basically screwed up and then tried to make sense of it, and there was no way to make sense of it.
So you look at the Steelers, right, and just from a scheduling standpoint, right, they played us, and you go, all right, they beat us. We scored 10 points. The Broncos scored 6. The defense is humming, man. You don't have to be Superman, and I said this when he came in here, to help the Steelers win. We'll see what against that Chargers game, Mike. I'm really interested to see how that game plays out because the Chargers are running the ball on everybody right now. We'll see. That's next week. Meanwhile, we talked about the Chiefs game. It ended this way.
It's the Bengals and the Chiefs. Yeah, man, a butt kicker does his job. We talked about the pass interference. I just felt like, you know, again, we're used to seeing the Hail Mary where contact's allowed in the end zone. It just seems like, you know, if the flag was thrown a little bit sooner, is that what people are upset about? Because it was like a late flag.
It was
like,
a late flag.
Like it was like it took him like a minute to get out of his pocket while the Chiefs sideline was going bananas.
Correct. It was almost a reaction to the crowd and the Chiefs sidelines. That's why a lot of people, including me, felt that way. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If that's immediate flag right now, contact, that's different. It was almost like, should I throw it? Should I not throw it? Oh, hell, I'm in Kansas City. Let me throw the flag.
But when you see the replay, he's clearly, you know, his contact, he's affected the receiver's ability to make a play on the football. Meanwhile, Isaiah Pacheco is going to miss several games, fractured fibula.
Oh.
So he's going to be out certainly for our game and maybe out at least 4 to 6 weeks for the Chiefs. The seventh rounder who's been a rock star for them since they drafted him. Now they got to find some other options.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man. The most impressive win of the day, Mike brought it up. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz. It's the Raiders. The Raiders beating the Ravens at home 26-23 with three fourth quarter drives, scoring drives. Gardner Minshew.
Oof.
Okay? And I'm willing to tell you guys, if you would have said, well, he's going to play better than, you know, Lamar. Lamar, again, threw a pick, 247, threw the ball 34 times, Mike. It's not as if, you know, they threw it 50 times, but I just felt like, boy, the Ravens have looked discombobulated, and I didn't expect the Raiders to score as much as they did, but Gardner Minshew, man, he has been a pleasant surprise here for the Raiders. That's a big win for them.
Yep, we heard that Lamar Jackson said they got to find their mojo. You know, we thought Monken and him would be just a perfect fit. He did get the MVP last year, but still, it wasn't like they didn't run the football. Derrick Henry did have a touchdown, 84 yards, but it's just the Raiders just came in there, executed their game plan, and it was just more about, Davante Adams, all the weapons coming to bear. Meanwhile, Kyler Murray, I got a little upset because I got Marvin Harrison Jr. week one. I didn't get anything from him.
Yeah.
We played that audio.
He was upset, too.
Yeah, Kyler Murray said, it was not my job. Talk to the OC. And then he said, no, I'll get him the ball. And he did. Here's something interesting. Only the second time in the history of the NFL, the perfect passer rating, it's a little bit confusing. It's 158.3. It's about percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown passes, interception. He's got the second perfect passing rating. The first one was Ken Anderson
for
the Bengals back in the early or mid-70s.
Going back.
So Kyler Murray with a perfect passer rating in the win over the Rams.
Yeah, Harrison, by the way, one quarter, not four, one quarter, four catches, 131, and two touchdowns.
Mm.
And you were like, uh-oh. He's the real deal, guys, and they got to find ways to get him the ball, just like we got to find ways to get our guys the ball.
Pitts tonight. And Drake London and Mooney, we got to get it going, man. I mean, come on. We cannot. You cannot tell me we're going to look like this on offense, and you're going to tell me Kirk Cousins is 100% if we're going to roll what we rolled out against Philly and what we did against Pittsburgh.
Well, we not only need to score more. I mean, again, you're not going. I don't think you're beating Philly with field goals tonight. Okay, I just don't. That's not going to happen. We got to score in the red zone when the opportunity is there, and a lot of this is going to come down to, you know, Kirk and his accuracy, Mike, and being able to elude pressure. Guys, this is the Eagles. He's not going to be a clean pocket all night. We're going to learn a little bit more about Kirk Cousins tonight. It's not going to be a clean pocket. There are going to be people around his feet. There are going to be people around his neck, Mike. But he's got to be able to maneuver and deliver the ball like we've seen him do. And if he does that, I'll feel a lot better moving forward. If he doesn't, then we got more questions.
And certainly, guys, the injuries, we talked about Nate Landman, so he will be out.
The hammer!
He is going to be out. But as far as, you know, the Falcons, we talked a lot about Caleb McGarry. He's a full participant with the groin, as you like to say. I know some people, okay, me, I was happy to see Storm Norton maybe step in. But apparently he is okay and good to go. Antonio Hamilton, backup corner, is out tonight.
All right, guys, coming up, Connor Riley from Dog Nation is going to join us. We'll review what we saw in Lexington over the weekend, and then we got to look forward. I mean, the Dogs, they got to get whatever was wrong right before they head to Tuscaloosa. I'll talk to Connor Riley next. What to expect tonight? Mike and I are going to talk more about that coming up in 15 minutes. But right now, we got to talk to our buddy Connor Riley because the Dogs went up to Kentucky and didn't play well, but they got the dub. What did we learn, and what should we be worried about? Connor Riley joins us right now on the line. And, Connor, it's good to have you on from Dog Nation. My concern was that the D-line for Kentucky whipped the O-line's butt pretty much all night. And Kirby talked about it after the game, saying, you know, hey, they were physical. My thing is, Connor, did they not know they were going to be physical? We hear this every year. Oh, we go up there, and they're physical. And it's almost like guys didn't get the message. Why not?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that Kentucky's defense came out and played well. Deion Walker is going to be a first-round pick in next year's draft. But I do think it's one of those things of where I think we've got enough of a sample size now where, yes, even though Georgia has played, I think, two good defensive lines in Clemson and Kentucky, this offensive line might not be as good as we all thought it was going to be coming into the season, and that's even before the Tate Ratledge injury took place. So, you know, that does force you, I think, to adjust your calculations on this team a little bit. I think you saw Carson, he's had to move a little bit more than maybe you anticipated in the past. And so I think you saw some of the uncomfortableness that Carson had last night, and that certainly affected him early on, not really allowing him to get into a rhythm. And so we're going to see going forward, you know, how does Carson adjust to that, to playing maybe a little bit more sped up than he is used to have being able to play that way.
Was some of this because of the Tate Ratledge injury and the reshuffling with the offensive line? Is that part of it?
I don't think so, because they were struggling offensively even before Tate went down in the second quarter. And I think it was more an issue of their offensive tackle play than necessarily what we got out of their offensive guards. Ernest Green has just not been the player I think a lot of people thought he was going to be coming into this season. And Monroe Freeling, the five-star tackle that's a sophomore now, I just don't think he's quite there yet, or at least physically where he needs to be that big-time player that I think a lot of people envisioned him as. So I think more than anything, it's these offensive tackles where you can understand where Broderick Jones is a first-round pick at offensive tackle, Marius Mims is a first-round pick at offensive tackle. Right now, they don't have someone who fits that mold on this team, and I think that's where perhaps it's showing up the most. They're not hitting a lot of the big runs to the outside, and when they are finding success rushing the ball, I think a lot of it's because Trevor Etienne on Saturday was just able to create something out of nothing, and that's not where Georgia has been in recent years, and it's great that you have someone in Etienne who's able to do that, but you don't want to be reliant on that.
Georgia wins 13-12. We're talking with Connor Riley from Dog Nation. It's Dukes and Bell. Monday Night Football coming up. Falcons at Philly tonight. All the coverage right here, starting at 4 with the Wade Ford tailgate show. Here's my other concern, watching in the stands. Where's the star power offensively? Who takes over games, Connor, for the Dogs when you get in these situations where you need plays?
And to your point, you know, there's nothing it seems that Georgia can do easier. They can take anything they want. You know, a year ago, I think you had that with Brock Bowers. You had that with Ladd McConkey. Maybe some of this is Georgia playing its cards close to its vest because they know they were playing Alabama at the end of September, and they don't want to fully unleash what, you know, maybe Dylan Bell can do or what Oscar Delp's going to be in this offense. But even early on in that game, and we've seen enough now, I think, between Kentucky and Clemson, when Georgia wants something easy, there's not necessarily something there. I think David Pollack made a great point on Twitter over the weekend. There's a lot of good players on this Georgia offense, but I don't necessarily know, especially among the skilled players, if there's a particularly great one. Maybe there is. Maybe Dylan Bell continues to develop and we see him used a little bit more against Alabama in the coming weeks. Maybe Dominic Lovett continues to build off of what I thought was a strong game from him. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Carl, there's nothing easy with this offense. There's nothing great with it right now. And while I believe some of that comes down to scheme and vanilla-ness that Kirby Smart elected to play with, because while, you know, Mike Bobo was not perfect on Saturday, we've seen Kirby do this with Kentucky when Todd Monken was the offensive coordinator, and now it's Mike Bobo as the offensive coordinator. Georgia, for whatever reason, I think plays very vanilla, very basic against Kentucky, knowing that it can win. But that does, I think, impact how people view this offense.
So, our man Connor Riley, as the Dogs escape with the win, also lose the number one position to the Texas Longhorns in the AP poll. We'll see what the College Football Playoff guys have to say about it. I thought Jalen Walker was great. I thought there was a ticky-tack, you know. I hate how they've overprotected the quarterback now. He can't stop in midair, but that was a hell of a play that he got penalized for.
Ticky-tack is a very kind way of putting that, Mike. I would call that one of the softest penalties I've seen in quite some time, but Jalen Walker was everything you needed him to be on Saturday. 8 pressures on 21 pass attempts or pass rushing attempts. That's the best mark of anyone that put on a college football jersey this weekend. I know he didn't finish with a sack, but late in that game when Kentucky was trying to make drives to get those last points that they needed, Jalen Walker was everywhere. I can't say enough about how well he has played this season, both as an off-ball linebacker and as an edge rusher there. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how Georgia chooses to use him against Alabama in a few weeks. He had 2 sacks last year against Jalen Milroe in a game where we've talked repeatedly about how they didn't pressure Milroe enough.
Right.
I think Georgia's going to get Mykel Williams back, and that's going to help a lot going into that game. But Jalen Walker versus Jalen Milroe is an absolutely fascinating offensive versus defensive chess match, and I think anyone that's a college football fan should be looking forward to how those two teams are going to match up those two players.
All right, here's something else that's concerning me is they get a week to get ready for Bama. Kentucky ran for 212. Bama's one of the best running teams in the country. How do you limit that? How do you slow them down with the run game if you are Georgia?
I think the big thing is you have to win early downs. And one, I think you saw, especially in the second half of that game where a lot of those yards came from,
yep.
Georgia was so thin on the defensive line. You know, Tyrion Ingram-Dawkins had a phenomenal game for Georgia, and that's considering the fact that he played 63 snaps, which is way too many for the way that Georgia wants to play on the defensive line. Nazir Stackhouse and Christian Miller also played over 50 snaps. Part of that is because Kentucky is able to sustain long drives, but they need Warren Brinson back. They need Jordan Hall back. They got Xavier McLeod back this past week, and I think that helped. You know, I think that they're going to get Hall and Brinson back for this Alabama game, and while they're not going to be, you know, the front-of-the-line guys, they're going to be able to help with that rotation. If they're able to win on first and second down and put Alabama consistently in third and long, I think that's going to help keep the snap count down, and that's how you prevent your defense from getting worn out over the course of the game, which is, I think, something we saw with that front seven. They made big plays when they needed to on Saturday to keep Kentucky out of the end zone, but Alabama's got enough talent to be able to do that in a way I don't necessarily know if Kentucky did.
Alabama, maybe it's just USF's front seven creates mismatches for them, and they look great against Wisconsin. Going to Camp Randall, they knocked Tyler Van Dyke out, and then Jalen Milroe, they start really explode in the second quarter, and it really looks like that's Frank DeBoer. That's Kalen DeBoer's, Frank DeBoer's old soccer coach, Carl. That's Kalen DeBoer's model of offense, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I don't take a whole lot from that Alabama game. Alabama deserves credit for being buttoned up and dominating that game. But when Tyler Van Dyke went down, that game was just going to be uncompetitive in the game. I didn't think all that highly of Wisconsin going in. But, you know, that was the first time all year Alabama had its fully healthy starting offensive line. Caden Proctor at left tackle, Elijah Pritchard at right tackle. Tyler Booker is one of the best guards in the country. And it's an Alabama offensive line that is as good as anyone out there right now. And they're able to protect Jalen Milroe. They're able to open up running lanes. I think so far we've seen Alabama answer some questions about the skill players around them. But I think Georgia's defense is by far and away going to be the best test that they have played. And so it's going to be a very interesting game. Georgia's defense has still not given up a touchdown this season. They have not given up a touchdown in the last four games. The last team to do that was 2016 Alabama. And so it's a Georgia defense that's been great so far this year, but at the same point in time, I do think that this is the most talented offense that they will have faced, and it starts with that offensive line, which is a big reason why I think they went up to Madison and just pushed Wisconsin around for four quarters.
Yeah, I totally agree. What's been the surprise for you so far, 3 weeks into the season? Is there a surprise for you, especially specifically in the SEC?
As far as Georgia or as far as conference?
The conference. Because we got a great game. I mean, South Carolina LSU was a great game. I mean, there's been some surprise. Are you surprised at what we're seeing with Florida and how bad they are? I mean, anything?
I'm surprised that Florida in two big home spots against Miami and Texas A&M, games they couldn't afford to lose because of what we believe they have at the end of their schedule, come out completely flat and did nothing for the first three quarters of both of those games. They're down 33-7 to a Texas A&M team that was playing a quarterback that was making his first career start. There is no juice with that program right now. There is no energy with it. And this was a pivotal year for Billy Napier going into year three. You've had time to assemble multiple recruiting classes. You've had the transfer portal where you can bring guys in. And they're now going backwards again for the second straight season from where this program was. And look, I'm not one of those people that feels the need to defend Dan Mullen. I thought he very much quit on that program in 2021 and Florida had to move on from him. But with what you've seen from Billy Napier, you know, again, expectations were low for some for Florida coming in this year, but I think they found a way to even underperform that. And it's just becoming harder and harder to see Billy Napier not even making it through the season, but making it to Jacksonville for the cocktail party with the way that they're playing it right now.
Yeah, I think we're of the opinion he wasn't going to be there by Halloween weekend. The other thing is, I guess the Board of Trustees was supposed to meet Sunday morning. Still no word on Napier. You heard anything else?
No, you know, yeah, I was aware of that meeting. I found it a little weird that they were scheduling it, you know, so hastily. I think when it gets closer to the bye weeks, maybe that's when they ultimately make a move on him. They have to win this weekend. Mississippi State, I don't know how many got a chance to see it. They lost to Toledo, and they got blown out by a MAC school. Ugh. This Mississippi State team might be one of the worst non-Vanderbilt SEC teams in some time. And if you can't beat them, you can't be an SEC coach anymore. So I think that this is a huge game for Billy Napier in a way that not a lot of people would have anticipated.
Real quick, Tennessee goes to Oklahoma. And young quarterback who looks like a rock star, but you think, can Tennessee pull off a win against that defense?
Not only do I think that Tennessee can do it, I think Tennessee is going to make a statement on Saturday. Uh-huh. And part of this is, one, there's some history there. Josh Heupel, former national championship winning coach, at quarterback, at Oklahoma, former offensive coordinator there. He has no qualms about running it up and putting a big number up on the board and the way that they play, especially for teams that haven't played against them like Oklahoma hasn't. I think that hurts Oklahoma in this sense, along with the fact that Oklahoma just quite frankly has not been all that impressive in recent weeks. Tried to give away this game against Tulane this last week, was in an all-out war against Houston the week before, and they're facing a more talented Tennessee team than anything they've seen on their schedule. It's Oklahoma's first SEC game, and I think they're going to be in for a really rude awakening from a Tennessee squad that knows that they've already made a quiet statement already this season with how they played. I think that they can firmly place themselves as one of the top teams in the sport with a dominant showing this weekend against Oklahoma.
Great stuff. Connor Riley, as always, tell the people where they can find your stuff.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter, at @KConnorRiley. We've got a ton of stuff during this bye week. Georgia-Alabama, always a massive, massive game, and looking forward to it.
We are, too. Take care, Connor. We'll talk soon. It's Dukes and Bell. We're going to tell you what the keys to tonight's game are for us, guys. And then tomorrow, we're back, hopefully talking about a dub. We'll scoot out of the way at 4 o'clock for the Wade Ford tailgate show. That's coming up here. But before we get out of here, we got to tell you what we expect next. Is it a must-win tonight? Kind of feels that way with what's going on in our division. This is not a division game, but you will have common opponents. And you start to wonder, all right, we got to get going. Can't wait till next week, guys. Kansas City staring us in the face. And then, Mike, we got the Saints. So tonight, I think, and it feels like to me, and we got to not only show up, but we got to get this one, man.
Well, since 1990, when the NFL went to the wild card, only 32 of 279 teams, that comes out to 11.5%, that started the season 0-2, go on to make the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah, I mentioned the Cowboys the year that Emmitt had the holdout. That was obviously a team that was loaded but still needed Emmitt. We need to now, again, I didn't know if we were ever going to go, you know, 2-2, 1-3. I felt like we were going to lose some games in this first part of the season. His cousin's got to be 100%. I just didn't know we were going to look like that on offense. That's what the shock to the system for you and me is. When we saw some of this at camp, but we didn't see enough to think this was going to be what the offense was. And then we find out that all the way back to the spring, they're talking about pistol and shotgun. And we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why are we reinventing the wheel? I think we have a pretty good idea what we should be doing with Kirk Cousins to get the ball in the hands of our playmaker.
Yeah, tonight, it's, again, some urgency, right? I'm talking about offensively. I felt like it was kind of lackluster in week one. And then, more importantly, let's get the playmakers involved, man. I mean, this is something I absolutely have to see tonight to start to believe that, hey, this offense is going to look like we expect it to look. And the stars have to show up. Again, I don't care who scores, but you have to show me, Mike, and I'm talking about this offense and Zach Robinson and Kirk Cousins, that the stars can make plays, man. And you got to put them in position to do that. So it's play calling, it's scheme, but it's also delivering the football. If we do those things, Hurts will give it to us. I do believe we'll get a couple of turnovers potentially in this game, but man, you got to control Saquon Barkley.
And, you know, I hate doing the nerd thing with the stats, but it's Pro Football Reference, PFR, not Pro Football Focus. Cousins threw down the field for the fourth fewest intended air yards, Carl.
Not good.
In week one. Also, the NFL Next Gen stats. This is from the New York Post article, by the way. They do a nice handicap of all the different games of the week. Cousins, an average time to throw of 2.55 seconds, the sixth worst mark amongst quarterbacks. Now, some of that had to do with certainly T.J. Watt, and we went to the silent count. It seemed like the Steelers were in the huddle, right, in that second half.
Sure.
But, you know, it's on the road against Philly with a defense we've talked about. I mean, maybe we don't over-respect him, but I just want to see everything we thought we were going to see. Establish the run, then you use play action, and everybody gets involved, and we score some points.
How many points do we score tonight? What does it take?
I think you got to score at least 24 to win.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. I'm going to say the same. I think you got to get over 25, 26 points, to be honest with you. I think the Eagles, listen, it could be, and maybe we're underestimating our defense. Maybe it could be a defensive struggle when it comes down, Mike, to, you know, a couple of scores and a field goal. Are we talking about a 2017 kind of game? I don't feel that way. I think both of these teams will be able to score, but I do think if we have any chance, we're going to have to score with 25.
You want some scary numbers?
Give it to me.
As a visitor in the spot, he is 4-11 straight up, is Kirk Cousins. As far as road dog,
yeah,
5.5.
Against the spread there?
As a visiting underdog, he's 2-10. As a visiting underdog catching 5.5 or more points, he's 0-5 straight up in his career.
Mm.
Hopefully we're going to change that. It's down to 5, by the way, at this point.
It did come down. Yeah. It was 5.5. I think a lot of people are saying, and this is what's crazy, you just saw this around the league, right? I mean, again, Dallas goes into Cleveland, and you go, woo!
They look like world beaters. Here we go.
And then the Saints put it on them yesterday. That's the craziness about the NFL, guys. So I'm with you on this. The Dolphins looked really, you know, they looked halfway decent week one. Obviously, Tua getting injured. But there's numerous examples of what plays out. Like the Packers winning without Jordan Love. I did not expect that to happen.
Malik Willis.
I didn't expect it, Mike. So these are the kind of things, and that's why the NFL is the best reality TV that there is, but we need a good showing. And again, as long as we're not getting blown out and humiliated, and we show up, Mike, even if we find a way at some point to maybe make this a game at the end, I'll feel a lot better. I just didn't feel good about the offense in that Steeler game, and I got to feel better moving forward.
Yeah, and I know that you'll be with me on Wednesday. We go up to Flowery Branch to talk to Coach Raheem Morris. It just seemed like it's like you're trying to convince the fan base of something that which they can see that didn't work. And the rest of the national media said it, too, about Kirk Cousins. Is Kirk Cousins the chicken and the egg argument? This is why you're running your offense this week, because he's still not 100%, and you just don't want to cop to
it. What did he say to that?
They said he's fine. You know, they said that Kirk can function, do all the things they need him to do in the offense. That was the argument. And then we get into, you know, why we asked, you know, things like, why didn't you run right at TJ Watt? You know, and things like how, all of those things, which I think the fans were asking. We did ask the questions. I'm not sure if you got the answers to the fan satisfaction, but it just didn't pass the eye test. I know I come back to that phrase a lot. I want to see us look physical. I want to see Kirk Cousins look. And if Kirk Cousins isn't ready to go, then that's another conversation that we can have. But I want to see Kirk Cousins be the guy as advertised when we brought him in here for $100 million guaranteed.
All right, we're done early, guys. Wade Ford tailgate show's coming up.
Boy, I got more to say, man.
Tomorrow. What? Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Big O, by the way, doing all the things today. Turtle, he'll be back with us tomorrow. He's going to be in here running the game and getting all that stuff done. Guys, by the way, Wes Durham, Dave Archer.
Wes Druham.
They'll have the game for you. Our coverage starts here in about 10 minutes, less than that. But the kickoff tonight is 8:15. We know Monday night late, but we're going to be here tomorrow, and we hope we're talking about a dub. We have a lot more to dive into. Georgia with an off week. We'll talk some tech. We'll get deeper into the college football rankings and what's going on there. And, of course, what happened in this game. Are we 1-1 after tonight? Let's hope so. Mike Bell, we got a scoot. By the way, it's Joe Patrick, John Fricke. Stay right there. They've got you covered to get the coverage started about tonight and much more. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, we'll have a chance to talk more about the Braves guys during the week. They have a chance to maybe take 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers. And the news today is Ozzie Albies about ready to start that rehab assignment.
Thank goodness.
Was some talk last week. Maybe he would only hit against lefties or righties, you know, because of the wrist and everything else. But you're going to get, hopefully, Ozzie back with some time to maybe make some hay. Which is great, because as long as you know you keep doing what you're doing, and the Mets struggled as they had with the Phillies, you're still alive for the wild card.
All right, man. Today we find out that Bryce Young has been benched.
Ugh.
Had a guy hit me up. He goes, is it Bryce's fault? Is it his fault? He's not seeing the field. It's that simple. Andy Dalton has been the guy that's going to replace him in Carolina. Is it permanent? I don't know. But obviously there's no confidence right now in Bryce Young, Mike. And the record speaks for itself. I put this out there on social media, and people were calling me out.
Oh.
Guys, he's 2-14 in his career.
Looks lost.
All right. We're back at you tomorrow. Go Falcons. Stay tuned. Wade Ford, tailgate show's coming up. If you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
Your college team is starting DJ Ukulele again.
Oh, wow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.